Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to say thank you for your attendance at this public hearing, which is a hearing that's called by the Public Utilities Commission as it relates to the death of a child by the name of Satinan Balkaran. And we have here present representatives from GPL and representatives from the family. Just to note, if there are any, once you're making a statement on the floor, we ask that you ensure you use the mic because this hearing is being recorded. Thank you. I'll hand you over to the chairman for some quick, brief remarks.
You all represent the child? What's the name? Let's get to get it in. Is your name?
Harris Boswell.
Harris?
Yeah.
H-A-R-I-S?
Yeah.
Who are you? Who are you?
I'm Quarles.
Quarles. Name, what's your name?
Komalei Ramash.
Ramash?
Yes.
Father. Mother.
Devki Balkaran, grandfather.
Vikram Balkaran, grandfather.
Vikram?
Vikram.
Vikram. You all finally complained against, well, you all finally complained with the commission concerning the death of this child.
Yeah. Yes.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Who is, who could be speaking? One person has to speak. I want to know who the person will speak. Who will be speaking for you all?
I'll be speaking.
You're speaking? Okay. Here, Harris. Okay, let us hear what you got. What name you like to regard for your
extreme left is Keith John.
The attorney?
Attorney at law, GPL. My immediate left is Lokmat Singh, senior manager, loss reduction.
Reducing the population to begin
with. Definitely.
Yeah, that's serious. So what you want to say? You said you're going to speak?
I want to say that I said it's been mentioned by GPL Wallo. GPL state in.
Hold on. When this thing happened?
It happened about 6 months ago.
You don't know when? About 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And you say you will speak for them? 6 months ago. What happened 6 months ago?
This child has been electrocuted by GPL wire. GPL can't carry the wire and meter concerning people. And if people get back electricity without no justice mechanism. The CEO for GPL, Martin Dior, said that these people are in legal connection and he still demand to make connection. Mr. Bardindia said these people have legal connection. Currently news.
Which people got legal connection?
The people that have this wire. The back neighbor.
The wire was connected to somebody else's place?
No, the wire went from the pool.
So you connected to somebody else?
Yes, yes.
Who the people?
You don't know
is it?
Electricity.
Yeah. Meaning and justice. Yeah. So what are you looking for? What is the problem?
I'm looking for justice.
You want to ask me anything else you want to say?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions?
Could you go into a bit more details about your son not electrocuted?
Well, it was the room. It was in the interior. The motor was the room.
And I tell it to them to be where we go to be in our yard, to be ground, what we're going to be back.
Any
They came to one 3 o'clock when she had
gone. Hold on, hold on. Yeah, it's not come 3 o'clock and they cut the wire.
Yeah.
Whatever they do, they come after the chair. It's all come to the chair. It's all
right,
what happened between, whatever, it is up to the chair.
Yeah. And they will come the next day, the morning, in the afternoon, about 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, to be fine. And they take off, they put them wire and meter, and they carry away everything, they salt everything, and they go home.
When was the last report made prior to the child being here?
It made around July. I went to draw my attention.
No, the child had been here make report in July.
Before?
Before then?
Yeah. Before. The child got shot in May.
Yeah, somewhere around
here. So when was the last report made to GPL?
Around about day one. I went to collect my attention. I went to GPL. Until Thomas checked his wire again. I went. The woman, she said I was sent people, and they never sent no one.
Where you went?
GPL.
Where?
Vrehu.
Vrehu. And you lodged a complaint about?
Yeah, 3 times I lodged a complaint.
What was the complaint that you lodged?
I said, come and see a wire exposed on my fence, right? My son got shot, and I come and do rectify for her. Nobody come. They come 3 o'clock in the morning when she had gone dying. And I tell them, I said, man, 3 o'clock in the morning, it could take about 10 minutes, only comes to cut the wire.
And when you made the report, did the person write down what you said or just listen to you?
The woman write down, and she said, she was sent somebody. Then I went back again, they said, I was sent somebody. But I don't know if anything, they just taking on, they said, they sent somebody.
And you said the last report would be.
I don't know where you've got time.
Anything else you want to say? Do you have any questions? Sorry to ask any questions?
No, sir. Not at this stage.
At what stage? You're going to finish about it today. What do you mean at this stage?
Yeah, I'm fast.
Huh?
I'm not fast. Nothing fast.
Not really.
Just for my benefit, actually, the house in which you're living in was supplied by electricity.
Yeah.
The wire that you said was running, that supposedly or allegedly caused this mishap.
Yeah.
That wire was running from a post or a pole in front of your house?
Yeah.
It was running to where?
To the back house, the neighbor.
So there's a house immediately behind your house?
Yeah.
I'm still a little bit unclear. This wire was running from the pole to the house, to the back. I think when I recall the information given to us, the child had touched the fence. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Or, yes?
No, are you really know what because I was doing last
year? Yeah, go on.
Child.
This is the way. Hello. Whatever question anybody has, understand the question first and then answer. Right? You understand what I'm saying to you?
So.
No, hold on.
Is the post and this wire that's running? Is the post and this wire?
I want you all to understand what the question asks and then answer. You understand what they say? Okay.
The child you said was bathing in the yard, if I remember
right,
correctly.
In the fence,
and he was towards the fence.
Yeah.
And you know, from what you said just now, you saw him on the ground, I believe. Or he shouted and he fell.
Yeah.
Okay.
The defense and that was safe.
Okay.
Fence.
Okay. Uh-huh. But just out of curiosity, so after this had happened, did you see any wire touching the fence or anything like that?
After it happened?
Yes, after it happened.
The wire was on the fence.
The wire is on the fence.
On the same fence.
No, no, no.
The what?
The wire was in from the distance from the house. They got a post by my fence. So they run the wire from the road, the post to the pole by my home, and then straight down to the back without no support. Probably they prevented it just put the tie on it and anything. But the wire, the whole GPL wire was on my fence, the zinc and the zinc fence.
The wire was on, so the wire then you're saying it had a huge belly, so it was actually in a huge loop. And this loop was such that at least part of the wire could have touched the fence, is that what you were saying?
It's on the fence, it rests on
it was resting on the fence.
On the same fence, it rests.
How long are, before we go on, because I think there are too many people speaking, you're the grandmother of the child, where are you living in relation to? It's in the same yard?
Yes.
Okay, so you're... Okay.
Same right. House as well?
Same house, yes. Same house.
How long ago, to your knowledge, this wire, how long have you been living there?
I live in there about 20 years.
And how long this wire has been in this loop that is touching this fence?
Well, I think these people plan there about 10 years ago, they get the wire. When they put up
the... No. Hold a second. These people, who are these people?
The neighbor at the back, is their wire.
Who put up the wire? GPL or the people?
GPL.
Not even say got to be. Did you see who put up the wire?
GPL people put up the wire.
You see when that happened?
No, I don't walk in front of you. Many people are
there. When? How long ago? The guy asking you, when was this wire put up?
The question really...
When they get for it? No.
How long you would have noticed this wire with this belly that could have been resting on the fence, according to you? How long that wire was there?
It rests a long while.
Well, really, how, like, just how long?
Like, over 2 years.
So over 2 years, yes. You noticed the wire that was resting on this fence. And supposedly this wire was I presume, from according to what you're saying, giving electricity to a house at the back. Because that's what, okay.
Yes, yes.
And so, and just going back again to what the grandfather is saying,
yeah.
You're the person who said you noticed this, or is it somebody who was trying to nail a fence sometime?
Yes. My son was nailed to the fence.
Who is the son that you're referring to? The gentleman is here.
Yeah.
It would be good if you speak, please.
Yeah, nailing zinc.
If you can use the mic, please, thank you.
Nailing zinc, and then yes,
this is how long ago?
This is a long time.
Yeah, but I don't need a date. Is it maybe 2 years ago? Is it that long?
Before the child.
It was before the child was electrocuted. But how long prior to the child being electrocuted?
6 months.
Maybe 6 months, is that what you're saying?
After your shock, he said, I get shocked in 6 months.
How you knew that you had gotten an electric shock?
Right?
Use the mic, please.
And after I get a shock, I lose young, I go to the baby. He said, Daddy, we're going to have to spend shock here. Right? Daddy said, what is why you put his pants? And tomorrow is a Sunday, and Monday, you go back and check the baby.
So you went in, so you're saying he went in to GPL on the Monday after this and made a report?
After Sunday afternoon, you went home.
Yeah. You made a report, let's just go quickly as we're at it. You made a report to GPL, and this is where's GPL that you're referring to?
Where who, GPL?
Reading Hoop's
right.
Office, GPL's
yes.
Office. So you went into the office, and what happened?
I told him.
Wait a second, you went in for any other purpose, or you went there just for that purpose?
I went to collect my pension.
Okay.
And then I went to the office.
I see.
I tell Peter, come and see this why I spoke
to. When you went into the office, who you spoke to? A woman, she was behind, are there counters or anything like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
She said, okay, we can sell. You even look at the bathroom.
But just to go back, I know the question was asked before, bear with me. When you went in, what did you tell her?
I told her I got shocked and the wire exposed on my fence. I want you to come and rectify the problem.
You got shocked or your son?
My son
shocked.
Got shocked.
I thought it said you got shocked.
Well, I say you're shocked, right?
That is what you said.
Yeah.
Right.
I found a website for a wife's daughter myself.
And what did she tell you?
She said, like I said, you know, to get it to your website.
She said that. Did she give you a time frame in which this would be done?
She kept on me note and she said she could sell somebody.
Let me ask you this. When she took the note down, as far as you can recall, what did she ask you?
She said they must send somebody to get it rectified.
Yeah, but hold on. Send somebody where? Did you give her your address, all of that information?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I noticed that you said it was more than one occasion.
Yes,
you,
I went again.
Why did you go back again? And this is how long after supposedly that you went?
I went back again. Around me, again.
This was May. Sorry?
Around April, May time. I went back again.
April of May of last year.
Right,
of this.
Yes,
yes.
I went back again. I said, why I come and see this book? Why I expose it myself? I come and check it out.
What prompted you to go back?
Because they didn't come.
Okay.
No, I didn't come.
All right. Thank you.
This wire you're talking about, of our post, was in the house in the back?
Yeah.
How much wire run from that post?
Only one wire.
You wire run from a different post?
No, we run from the same post.
You saying one thing. You saying one thing. Your father saying something else.
Why
you tell me that? You said that is the only wire on the post. They asked you where your wire, except in another post.
Yes.
Where your son said? Your son said you're not talking the truth.
Right now it's
two wires. Three wires.
Yeah, because
the neighbor gets. Who and who wire? No, we talk about the time. At the time of the singer.
Well, at the time it was only two.
Two wire for the same post?
Yes. After they get the post.
Here. Two wire from the same post?
Yes.
Who and who wire?
My one and the same
factory. The wire connecting to the back house. When was that? That was installed when? By GPL people? Is that what you're saying? Who installed that wire from the
GPL people?
GPL people?
They put on the post.
Okay. And those people in the back, as far as you know, had a meter as well. They were paying their electricity too?
Yes. I can't do it. But they can't take away the wire and the meter.
Why you don't answer what is asked from you? You don't answer.
All right.
After the story.
As you're talking about that, you're saying the GPL people, nobody was them getting back?
Yes.
Yes, and why they took away the meter from the back house and
everything?
After the death.
So what, the people at the back were not getting any current after that, right?
No.
So, this is different now. What happened? They're still not getting current to the back?
Yeah, they're getting current.
They're getting current now? So what happened? When was it reinstalled?
3 weeks.
How long after GPL reinstalled the wire?
Yes,
sir.
About 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2-3 weeks ago from
here.
Okay.
Thank you. For just some clarification, we have two offices in Green Room. One is a customer service office, one where you can go pay your bills, apply for your service, and so on. The other one is what we call our T&D office, where the people who deal with the network reside. We send you into one of the two offices. You can say which one?
The one.
Oh, go ahead, describe. I'll know
what
you're talking
about. Yeah, the one at Green Room.
We pay the bills. Oh, we pay the bills, okay. And this woman you spoke to.
Yeah.
Did she give you her name?
No, she didn't give me her name.
What does she look like?
A fat Indian woman. A fat Indian woman.
When you went back, you said a second time.
Yes, you are. I said,
and the lodger complained with a second person. Yeah. What was the second person like? Male, female?
A male.
What does it look like?
A new fella. I told him
you need to be a little bit more specific.
Yeah, yeah.
To say a Negro fella is not very helpful to me.
A Negro fella is a little tall fella.
All right. Did you at any time make a phone call to GPL? Or is it just a physical visit you made?
I got physical here and then
you ever make complaint through the telephone?
Yes,
and when was this, ma'am?
This was last year, April month day. Because I saw a spark in a toilet. And after I saw the spark in, I call in. I look at the bill at the back and I call in. I call at the number. When I call, I tell them that I see this wire spark in and I scared. They say I'm stick up the main switch of my room. And they can send somebody. Which and I did do a take out the main switch, but they didn't stop the sparking. Because it wasn't with me. Well, it was at the parking fence. And I wait all night. I call, till after time answering machine answering me. Nobody didn't respond to me. Nobody didn't call me all night.
Words, are you finished?
Or? Anything else you all want to say? One.
Yeah, I would like to ask, what is the system that GPL has in place? That if a customer generally makes a complaint to an office, as far as I understand here, the complaint is recorded. But is that complaint recorded in the certificate and the customer is given a copy, or is it that being logged in some kind of a legible complaint, that's it, the customer doesn't get a copy of that complaint that he or she would have made?
No, the customer doesn't have a copy, that's recorded in the system, the software.
Yeah, but I think that is something that should be done, because going through these reports here from GPL, you're saying that one, you cannot identify the person to whom you speak the complaint. You cannot conclude the veracity of what your complaint is about, allegations you said against Sean Lisa. But if GPL had a system whereby I make a complaint, the complaint is recorded, and a copy is given to me, then I would have had something in writing to keep to prove that I indeed made a complaint. But going through all the documents here, it would appear as though GPL is saying that the burden of proof is on the consumer to prove that indeed they made a complaint with regard to this exposed wire and this electrocution.
All right, if you allow me to put it into context, perhaps it will lend some clarity to all of this. But first, let me thank the PUC for calling this hearing. This is something we think is very important. And what has been reported and put in the press is not always accurate. People, you know, voice their opinions rather than stay with the facts. But before I get into the facts, as with GPL, let me first of all express our most sincere condolences to the Balkran family for this most tragic incident. And I don't think I can sit here really and tell you in words that can bring any degree of solace and peace to you. I myself am a father, and if something like this were to happen to one of my children, I would, like you, also demand justice. But we want to stick with the facts. Now, there the lot in which the Balkans reside, and if I have anything wrong, please object. There are three houses in it. There's a front house, the Balkans reside in the second or the middle house, and then there is a third house. The first house and the Balkans premises have legal supply of electricity. We have accounts with them, they pay their bills, that's it. The third house that they've been referring to, at the time of the report from the Balkans, when the GPL crew turned up, we found that they did have an illegal supply. We don't have a record ever of that customer having a legal supply. They're not issued bills, they don't have a prepaid meter, at least at the time of the incident. Between the Balkans and that third house, this wire was running here, allegedly resting on the fence. Now, from a technical perspective, if this wire is exposed, touching the fence, what will happen is that the current will flow through the wire, through the fence, and to ground. What will happen to everybody on that transformer? They will immediately suffer a low voltage. That's a physical law. And that low voltage will continue as long as that wire continues to be exposed and rest on that fence. So if it is resting on the fence and exposed, that low voltage would have continued in perpetuity. Now, and not only affect the Balkans or the other two houses in that yard, but all customers connected to that transformer serving that locality. We have a 24 emergency call center. We have checked the records. There is nobody from that transformer serving, being served by that transformer, who made a call of low voltage. If this, as you said, has been happening for over a year, that is extremely unlikely. And that fence would have remained electrified. And there is no way, given the electrification of fence, that you would have gotten anywhere close to the voltage requirements to for your appliances to operate. Now, I'm not saying that what you have alleged is not correct. All I'm saying is we don't have any evidence. And Mr. Passat has raised a good point that I acknowledge, that in the case of a walk-in customer, a good idea might be for us to issue a duplicate copy of the complaint. With the telephone call-ins, of course, you can have a duplicate, but we do keep your record. It's there. We have a telephone recording software. The conversations are taped. We can go back if you give us some specifics, and I think your grandmother said something of April last year. You might have made a call, so you'll have to go back to the tapes of April along last year. We'll check the database to see if that call had come in. Because what happens in a case in terms of the procedure here is the call comes in, it's recorded, we take the telephone number of the customer, because at nights in particular, sometimes the crew go out and they find it difficult to find the place. So it says, can you leave your number in case there's difficulty? The crew can call you to find out where the house is. And more importantly, we want to call you back to say, look, the crew visited and you've received your complaint, have they fixed it? That is the procedure. So we'll have to go back to find out if this was. But based on the initial logs for that lot, lot 14, I think it is. 17. Lot 17. The system hasn't got incomplete. And we have checked around, like I said, for the people in your neighborhood, they will have complained. Certainly, the people on the third house at the back didn't make a complaint because it's an illegal supply and they would have known it was an illegal supply. The point you raised, the father, young Malcolm, I'm sorry, about them having a legal supply now is more of a legal issue. We would have loved not to give them a legal supply, but the law doesn't allow us from doing that. We are obligated to give them. We are bound by law. If it were within our powers, believe me, they would not have had a supply.
If, right, nothing's legal connection, right? If they are required when the report is made, they are to go from the certain point, they
are. That's what I'm saying. I'm not denying what you have said. All I'm saying is that we don't have anything in our system to substantiate it. The one little thing I can try and hold on here to is your mom, I take it, said she would have made that phone call around April of 2013. That's a long time ago for an exposed wire to remain exposed and nobody else suffers low voltage.
Sorry, if I may just ask, what about the actual, assuming what they're saying is correct, the actual written report documented by the first visit? What happened to that written report? Would it have been there? Have you checked the records?
Again, we have checked. No records.
Okay.
Apart from this particular incident, we would also like to see if this record, the recording was made. Was it really actioned the way the procedures should? Not just for this incident. And why it didn't happen. But we couldn't find that. That's why I wanted to see whom the grandfather might have spoken to. I'm not familiar with all the staff at the office, but we'll look into this fetish in the
dimension.
The second one may not be that helpful to me. It's like you tell me, you walk into, I don't know, let's say predominantly, you walk into Santa Mission and you say, I spoke to an Amerindian. It's not very helpful. The point is, just to say you reported it to a an African person, it's not really helpful. I'm not saying you didn't. I'm just saying for me to say who you reported it to, it's very helpful.
The third, I think it was a Thursday morning, the neighbor coming from the back. With, at the set moment, it had a corporal from Lenora police station was there with the next, I think it was an ex-policeman. When they come and find the wire, how it was, when she come from the back, I don't know nothing about illegal connection until now y'all saying that. When she come from the back, she see the police and so when she asked me, she said, like now they come for fix the wire. That was the statement that she made to me. She said, like now they come to fix the wire. So I say, neighbor Glor, then I come for fix wire. Is that the wire killed my grandson, that Nikhil died last night with his wife? She said, oh my God, you know how much time I call into GPL and tell them about this wire? That was her statement. She said, many reports she make concerning the wire too. I just saying that what she said to me. She said, and if they come, this going to happen to this child. That was her statement. But I can't know if she ever do it or whatever. But she claimed that she made several reports to the GPN.
So if it's not in the system, as you say, how did people come 3 o'clock in the morning and look after the wire?
This was when the police contacted GPL and said a child at this particular address was allegedly electrocuted.
And next question, if the wire was illegal, as they are claiming, how come the people in Gabak connection and nothing commodities to oil from the kill in Satin and Balkran?
Like I said, legally, we are obligated to give them the supply of electricity once they meet all the standard terms and conditions. We can't. If they were to go to a court of law and say GPL refuses to give them power, the court will immediately issue an injunction and says connect this up. And like I said, you know, we would have loved because we knew they were stealing electricity.
But then they get it, this connection is from GPL.
The GPL, why GPL meter?
GPL everything. And somebody's supposed to give account on that.
Well, I don't know about the wire. There was a wire. And you said 10, 12 years ago, you recall it was GPL did it.
Well, we say that because only GPL does normally do electricity wire.
Theoretically, GPL should be the only one doing electricity
okay,
wire.
Okay.
If they get a meter, got to be from GPL given meter because they can't thing a meter by themselves. They have to get a meter from GPL. Somebody
yeah,
that works in there.
Focus is not on them, right? Your focus is from you and Justice
Fitz. I am saying service that this black neighbor you're talking about is illegal. They didn't apply to GPL for a power. They didn't have a legal connection. How many got connected and so on?
Only
right. I am very deeply sympathetic with you, and you know, whatever the outcome of this may be. The fact is, the child has passed on, and there's nothing you can do or say to bring that back or to ease your suffering. That you know. But what we want out of this, in particular, for this public hearing, is for the people around this country to know of the dangers of having an illegal supply. We have had incidents like this in the past where people in the process of doing an illegal connection got themselves killed. During Easter time, we advise people stay away from the electricity power lines. And you know what happened during Easter time? Hundreds of kites get stuck. Almost every Easter time, some child or some adult gets electrocuted by a kite. You plead and say, stay far away. All right, this is not your fault. It's most unfortunate, most tragic, that it is an illegal act by someone that caused this legal wire to be hanging on a fence that we electrified and ultimately allegedly electrocuted this child. I really can't express my deepest sympathies. I can only say it. You would feel it. You have that child has grown with you. I can only imagine.
Clarification. The line that was the legal line was running from the transformer?
No.
Oh, where?
From the secondary pole.
Okay.
But you have a transformer goes down at a point. So it comes from a primary power of 13,800 volts. Put the transformer into a secondary line, steps it down to 120 to 40 volts. And then from that secondary line, a number of customers could be 10, 20, 30, 50, 200.
From that secondary line?
Line, not necessarily directly. We don't connect customers directly to the transformer.
Uh-huh.
The transformer is connected between the primary line and the secondary line. And from the secondary line, all those who are along this get connected.
But it has to be a very, shall we say, technical person to make that connection, right?
All sorts of new connections these days from what you've discovered.
GPL over time. GPL over time.
I am not sure about GPL over time.
I just want to make a point. It is not, but it was not
No?
One other point. I think it came out of the evidence that there are two offices, as we know.
That's correct.
Right. One is the billing office, and what's the other one?
One is, it's not really for an office of customers to make complaints. That office houses our technical people, the people dealing with the transmission and distribution.
So is it possible that they went to the billing office, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes,
right?
That is where customers will also make complaints.
Oh, okay. So they went to the right office?
Yes.
Thank you.
While we're at that, Mr. Deodorant, just a quick question. At the Green Loop office, the billing office we're talking about, the staff, they're doing a number of transactions, billings, bill payments and all of that. And that includes, you said, just following up on Commissioner Solomon, includes the taking of complaints, troubleshooting issues such as the issue that would have perhaps been ventilated to that office.
Cashiers are separate. The office is divided. So for a particular transaction, you go to a particular area. So if you come to pay your bill, you go to a cashier. You come to make a complaint, or you have a query, or you want to apply for a service, you go to a different location within the same office.
If the person goes to pay to the cashier, can that person make a complaint to the cashier?
The cashier will revert them to the other desk.
Just going back in time to roughly, we're talking about 6 months or perhaps a year prior to the incident. At that time, you would have existing standard operating procedures with respect to the taking of particular complaints and what is the action plan, if there's a reference number to be issued or anything like that. At that particular office.
Yes, all the customer service office have that same procedure.
So if you could just run that through with me. Somebody at that time, I don't know if it has changed now, obviously, but at that time, what would have happened? A customer comes up with a complaint that the pole is leaning or whatever it is. What I'd like you to just run that through, that particular procedure that the staff are supposed to be more favored.
All right, they will take all the pertinent details, the name of the complainant, the address, if there is an account or a meter number, certainly a telephone number, and they will then tell the customer a time frame within which whatever the transaction is expected to be completed in. So in the case of this particular incident, they would have told Mr. Balcoran that a crew, if that did happen, that the crew will come, and the standard procedure is, in a case like this, this will be treated as an emergency call. So this staff would have contacted the emergency call center, because this is, as an agency, it's urgent.
If the customer is issued a reference number.
A reference number is generated in the system, but it's not given to the customer at that point, no. But there is a reference for that particular complaint.
When that report is taken, when they go and take the report, is it your person taking the report is on the computer? Or is it
yes,
a hand?
Yes.
Well, surely the reference number would be generated immediately. And that could be given to the person there with the complaint.
To follow up.
So they have, but they wouldn't have anything
right,
else but a number. You know what I mean?
In the system, it allows you to there's a query column that the staff will fill in. This is the Balcoran, this is the account, this is your query. And that record is there for posterity.
But no reference number?
No.
Reference number, and then that person says, look, okay, Mr. Balcoran, this is your reference number. So he can then follow it up with that number.
But if I just may quickly, but out of, you'd have had customer service standards in existence for a little while back. At that time, we're talking about roughly about a year ago. How would you have been able to track whether somebody who's made a complaint, the nature such as this particular instance, how would you be able to track to see whether it has been remedied within a specific time frame or not? without missing information in the system.
All right, so what happens here after the work in the system, what is called a service order, is generated? It's an instruction to a particular department with pertinent details. So in this case, the service order would have gone to the emergency. The service order in the system, we say, remains open until it's actioned, the results of the action are filled in, and then the service order is closed. We will know by running all open service orders, and this is done at the end of each day, to see what's outstanding, for how long, and then if there is a protracted delay, then the manager gets involved to say, well, look, what's happening? So they will call into departments, if that's a different department.
So the only information you would have on whether such a complaint was made is by running the system at your end. That is what you're saying.
That's one. The other one, and the one that Mrs. Bachman talked about where she called in, we also have a separate call recording software that we can check on that. And we have an emergency database that could also be checked. So on the calls, there are two things we can try and cooperate with that. On the walk-ins, it will be based on the service hours.
But would you
match
the service orders against the reference number? How would you match that? You see what are the ones outstanding? In terms of the reference number, would there be, must be some relationship between the reference number and the service order, right?
The service order, all right, there are different service orders created for different activities.
Right,
so you can run, says, give me all service orders on reports of illegal theft. Illegal connection. Give me a service order on a complaint that requires a field visit, for example, a meter reading. I'll give you an open service order for a customer to apply for a meter as called to complain that they have not yet got it installed. Right, so
the reference number
from the call center, so when the customer calls in via phone, they are given a reference number.
Is there any relationship
between
the reference number and the service order?
On the emergency call centers, that service order process does not obtain. That service order is for the walk-ins. The people who are applying for a new service, queries, and so on. The call center database, you can have all reference numbers outstanding. So go and check. So the service orders is from the customer information database. The call-ins from the telephone is a separate system. And the call-ins are the ones that generate that reference.
Just following up then, coming back to that question, you're saying basically the only evidence that you will have is on your side. That is, what is on your database or what is in the system that says that the complaint was actually filed. That is basically what you're saying. The customer then, apart from the customer who's on the phone, the customer then has nothing in his hands, whether piece of paper or otherwise, acknowledging that there was an issue and that I've approached customer X, Clark X, with this complaint with a particular time frame. Is that what I'm getting?
All right, let me differentiate so we're very clear. On the walk-in, they would have no evidence.
Yeah.
On the call-in, they would have been given a reference number.
Thanks, Mr. Dean. Right. So the other question is, we're talking about the standard operating procedures. I'm looking at going back again 1 year ago, and we're saying that you don't have any information that anybody from the Balkaran's family actually approach the fat Indian woman or the whoever it is with a particular complaint of this nature. But that is only on your side. So
I don't really want to get to that point, but I'm just wondering, there might have been a probability that a complaint might have been made, and because of the absence of any piece of paper reference number given to the customer, that just disappears into the thin air, because you don't have the information in the system and they have nothing to show.
That's correct, but don't forget the one pertinent piece of information. If the wire was exposed, as he said it was exposed, every person on that transformer would have experienced and continue to experience low voltage and significant low voltage.
Could it be that GPL as it is, you know, people are accustomed to low voltage?
This is going to be so low that no piece of equipment in your house can function properly. Certainly, a bulb will get extremely dim.
The one point I want to come back to is that based on this, on the big inadequacy in respect of walk-in customers, is that you should introduce or consider introducing what Commissioner Prasad was talking about.
I concede that, and I think it's a very good observation and a recommendation. Yes, I concede that.
Where the walk-in person can take with him or her. The follow-up.
Sorry.
Well, we had enough of on that issue. The facts do not appear to be very much conflicting. The child died, the postmortem report showed he was electrocuted. So what they are saying that it could have happened with this, whatever it is. But two things, legal issues here would come into play. But the first point I want to make is this. The doubt seemed to be cast on whether these people made a report concerning this
exposed
wire or sparking. We have received, I look at this file last time for the first time, and seeing that on the 6th of 18th of June, a response from General Johnson in responding to the complaints they have made, which we sent to GPL. She said that our network operations department was notified of the need to investigate and take appropriate action. In addition, our records do not corroborate Mr. Balgran's claim of reporting a faulty unsafe connection to his premises within the period under reference. This child died on the 7th of May. The letter goes on to say, however, we have evidence of a report that was made at our Wigumbo office on the 5th of June 2014. That's 1 month after the death of the child. They could not have made a report concerning the sparking wire a month before after the child died. A month after. So how do you explain? Can there be an explanation for this? What was the report made? The fact that she has recorded that the report is made, you will have a record of that. What would that report be? It would be interesting to find out.
Really
this is a month after that. June 5th, 2014. Secondly, concerning this stealing or tampering or stealing. We have received a report from Mr. Chief Executive Officer, and in his report this is what he said. Investigations reveal that the account for the customer whose house was further in the yard, I think they call it the third house, was deemed to have been final since 2004. And hence, according to GPL standard operating procedures, the extended wire and meter to that house should have been removed. That's, 10 years ago. It still remains a matter to be resolved as to under which existing department had responsibility failed to execute. The presumption, the almost irrebuttable presumption would be that GPL was aware of that wire for the past 10 years. That wire was there, should have been removed. And he quoted a meter number also, which should have been removed 10 years ago. And the wire remained there with a meter. So we have to consider that part of the evidence. Why was not that meter, the wire removed 10 years ago? So these are the issues that will surface. The fact that the child died and his condition under the circumstances or she died, they're not in dispute really, de facto. The question is liability. It is pointing to the fact that the third house may be stealing electricity. GPL may have been complice. We have to consider that issue. Because they allow that illegal thing to remain there all the time. Another issue which can be taken into account, when people make reports, looking at them, hearing how they talk, and you believe they will make a note what date they're going to make a report, or what was said, or who to whom was said. They won't remember that. Or to remember is a lady or a man, it's a case. But what bothers me is this, when I saw this last one, that why are they saying a report is made a month after? Is it to cook up the books? Is it a mistake they made? And if they made that mistake, I can imagine what kind of mistakes they would have made. So the question of the report, I don't think we can pay much credence if there's conflict as to what they're saying.
I'm not sure what a report is. Whether there is or there was a subsequent legal connection. I'm not sure. I really can't answer it to the abstract.
Well, that is not pretty hard. You also propose to need any further evidence in the matter, so
no.
You rely on. You all want to say anything for them? That's the same thing you all say all the time. Anything in addition to what you all got?
So, from that,
yeah.
You said you made a report to the
marshal
office. Mm-hmm. If you're to go to that office, did you identify that woman?
I never see her back from there. As God has called, but I never see her back.
So
at the same location.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see her at that location. I never saw her around the area.
When you call, you didn't threaten her, that's what the lady
No, no, sir.
All right.
How long ago was this?
That was before, around about April time.
You went originally?
I personally went.
But since when you went back, you didn't see her?
I went back again. Let's go.
Oh, okay, the next one you didn't
yes.
see
her? Yes, I said next person.
If you have cases in the company whereby a consumer may be legally connected,
but then subsequently deleted from the system.
Oh, no, no. Yeah. The system does not allow deletion of any account.
Mm-hmm.
It stays in there for perpetuity. Nobody has access to it. Can be removed, even from the IT side. So it stays there in perpetuity. It could be made inactive, so we stop issuing bills, but it sits there and whatever historical information is in the account remains there.
You mean the account can be?
Oh no, it cannot be deleted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How old was the boy, you all know? When he was born, what year he born? We got a postmortem report.
Yeah.
it is steep, man, on this thing here. Yeah, he was very brilliant. It's cool.
Just confirming that you said you have standard operating procedures in place 1 year prior to this incident. These are written procedures. Is it written in a written form?
Yes.
At the Virgin Hope office?
14 Sewall offices, yes.
And just clarification, you were disputing, it seems, the issue about the wire perhaps touching the fence as it relates to transformer. You were saying if there's a if it's constant, then it's there would be a constant low voltage. That's what you're saying. But just at the time, at the death of the child, your reports would have revealed that there was a wire touching that fence, because, I mean, the PM report says that the child was electrocuted. I'm just interested from your technical standpoint, what could have caused that to happen.
I will have to check on that, because remember that at the time the child allegedly was electrocuted, our people weren't here. So it's hard to answer that question to say whether at the time of the incident, if the fence was indeed electrified.
Do you want to ask a question? Our engineer, I think he has a few questions.
Good afternoon, everyone. Based on the premise, Mr. Deodorang, with respect to the live wire touching the fence, going to ground, the entire area would have been in low voltage, severe low voltage. Now, it's presumed, I think the people say, it's a zinc fence. I don't think anyone will build their fence and push the zinc down into the ground.
That's an assumption. Did you see the fence?
No, sir.
Well, it's in the ground.
Its fence is in the ground, in the mud, to cause this wire to be ordered off into the ground, to cause this assumed low voltage.
What comes in here, ask?
No, I thought you guys saw it. Because yeah. I don't think someone will build their fence and put the zinc into the mud.
Don't make the assumption. Ask.
No, I'm just asking, but I mean, we're talking about a technical point of view here.
Mm.
Now, I don't think anyone would want to build their fence and put the zinc on the mud. Eventually, sometime after the fence, the zinc will decay. Thank you.
Close inquiry at this point in time, and we'll give a written judgment decision.